Good morning, everyone. I'm Roy Ann Carney. I'm the Deacon of the Month for September, and just want to welcome everyone. And let's take a moment to pass the peace and greet your neighbors. Good morning, and it's so wonderful to have you all here with us today. And we are also happy to welcome Charles Doolittle to be our guest preacher today, and look forward to hearing what he can bring us. We have a few announcements. The Worship and Music Committee is meeting on Tuesday at 7. The Village Voice, look for it. It will be out next week. And so if you have anything to add. The Adult Sunday School is every Sunday at 9:45, in person and online. So please join us. And the Ladies Bible Study will be this Tuesday at 10. Online, just in person? I don't know. Both online and in person. There is a ballot for nominating deacons on the back table. If you'll take one, fill it out and bring it back, or there will be one on your email. You can get it online and fill it out there, and you don't have to use a pencil. And then there's also the pastor search form that you can fill out, interest form. And watch for the dates for there'll be several small group meetings for the pastor search committee, and the dates will be coming out soon. Lastly, October 1st, Sunday after next, will be the collection for Bowie Pantry. So today, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
This morning by singing "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." Please stand up and join me as we sing.
Thank you.
I believe we'll be turning off the mics to the online now as we raise our concerns and prayer requests. Let us know if you have a concern that you would like to express, a praise, or any other sort of prayer request this morning.
God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in the name of our great apostle and high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Heavenly Father, first of all, we ask you for comfort for this family who lost their daughter trying to break up a fight. We ask for comfort for the family and that there would be no more or bring an end to the senseless violence that is happening around this area. Father, we pray for every person whose name that has been brought before you today that is in need of healing. We know that Jesus, he himself bore our infirmities and carried our pains, and with his stripes we were healed. We pray for specifically for issues involving mental related issues as well as physically related issues. I ask you to expedite with your divine hand, expedite the healing necessary for your people. Lord, we thank you for all of these that have been brought before you. We stand as intercessors. We stand as those who will stand in the gap to make up the hedge for each one of them. And we ask you on behalf of our loved ones that your hand would be extended and that your word would expedite their healing. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.
Thank you. Well, it's time for the children's story. I found this thing sitting around my house the other day. Have you seen anything that looks like that? It's black and it's got these pieces of wood taped on there. I thought it might be something in code. And then I couldn't figure it out. I tried looking at it this way, I tried looking at it this way. Then I realized it's not code, it's a name. Do you see it? No. It's confusing, isn't it? Well, I'll give you a hint. If you cover up this and this, now what does it say? A little hard to spell out, right? J. E-S-U-S. Jesus! That's right. But you see, without those pencils, it's really hard to see that. And this, the reason we keep this around in our house is a reminder that, you know, the reason you can't see it easily is all the background makes it confusing. But we have that problem in our lives too, that we got so many other things going on that we forget Jesus is there. But Jesus is always there for us, and we just need to remember that. And so that's why this is a good reminder, that you don't have to see it clearly to know that Jesus is there. And something that is worth celebrating is Jesus all the time. We can count on that because he promised he would always be there with us. So let's say a quick prayer. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is with us, that we can count on Jesus, that we can celebrate all the good things you've done for us, and even when we've got other things going on in our lives, that Jesus is still there for us. And we thank you for that. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Thank you for coming up.
Good morning. There is nothing more deeply penetrating in all the heavens and earth than the depth of the Father's love for us. This is how deep the Father's love is for us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my pain that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished.
I will not boast in anything gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Our scripture reading for this morning is from three passages. In the Old Testament, we have Proverbs, and then Luke, and then Hebrews. So from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 is, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." Luke 8, verses 22 to 25. Now on one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." So they launched out. But as they were sailing along, he fell asleep, and a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. They came up to Jesus and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're perishing." And he got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" But they were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" And in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 to 20, "For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply you.' And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For people swear an oath by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath serving as confirmation is the end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring more to demonstrate to the heirs of the promise the fact that his purpose is unchangeable, confirmed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to hold firmly to the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and reliable, and one which enters within the veil where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that scripture.
Blessings to all of you. Thank you for the privilege of being with you, and I'm honored. I should say my wife and I, we are honored to be here with you. And I pray today that you will receive something from him. Amen. Now, so we're going to have to get something kind of understood. This is a conversation, even though it's a message, it's a conversation. And I grew up in a Baptist church, or we grew up in a Baptist church, and our Baptist churches might be a little different than yours. But I still need to have a little feedback. Is that okay? Whew. It's getting nervous. Okay. Beautiful, beautiful. Attentive crowd. I like that. So today, and first of all, let me say this. I greet you in the name of the Lord from our church, Citizen Heights Church in Washington, D.C. Our pastors and our senior pastors are Michael and Heather Giroux. And so I greet you in their name, and they send their appreciation and love to you as well for allowing me this privilege to be with you. So as you have read the scriptures or have seen the scriptures that we're going to discuss today, and before I begin, I'm going to just pray that God would release his anointing to hear and for me to be the vessel that delivers his bread to you today. Is that okay?
Amen.
All right. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of our apostle and great high priest, the Lord Jesus of Nazareth. Father, I pray that you would use me to bring fresh manna from heaven. I ask you, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to give us the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the heart to understand, the importance of trusting you. We thank you in advance for how you will speak and how it will minister grace to every person here today and those online. May they also have the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the heart to understand. In the name of our risen Lord, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen and amen. So, the American Dictionary, I should say Oxford's American Dictionary, by the way, I don't know if you're familiar with this, this is a Bible. Now, you're looking at me, I know that's a Bible. Well, we're so techie these days. I just want to go old school. This is the Bible. Okay. Okay. No, I'm being facetious, obviously, but I just appreciate still having one, because there may be a day when we won't have one. Can you say amen? Our Christian values are being challenged every day. And so it's possible that we may not have this. And so it's important to know what's in it. Amen? All right. So let me read this definition. And whenever I speak, wherever I speak. Oh, by the way, did I bring my little timepiece? I did not. So my mother told me that I need to make sure that I'm invited back, right? So I don't want to offend anybody. I want to make sure we're out on time and all that good stuff. So I'm going to set my timer, okay? Is that okay with you guys? Well, look, we got laughing going. All right. Woo! Hallelujah. All right. So I'm setting my timer so that I can be obedient and get invited back. All right. American Heritage Dictionary, Oxford's American Dictionary says, trust. This is the definition of trust. Firm belief in someone or something, reliable, true, or able to do something, or the state of being responsible for someone or something. So as I started to say before I read the definition, I always expect the Lord to confirm for me what it is he wants me to speak about before I speak about it, to make sure that I'm on track with him. Can you say amen? Amen. I need to be able to hear him and bring to you fresh bread that he wants delivered to his people. He is still the good shepherd after all. So I want to share with you three stories that help to confirm what I'm supposed to deliver to you. The first story is March 2022, during my prayer time, I felt impressed of the Lord this phrase. I'm not going to tell you all of the conversation. I'm just going to tell you the phrase. The phrase was, trust me, believe me, it's simple obedience. Now, I'm very much a real stickler when it comes to following the promptings, the nudgings, the unction of the Holy Spirit. Because I believe that many times he says things a specific way and expects us to understand and or follow the way he has said things. And I thought it was very interesting that he said to me, trust me, believe me, it is simple obedience. Now, what's interesting about that is this, friend. How many of you believe God? Let me see the hands. Unanimous. Do not raise your hands on this next one. How many of you trust them? See, there's a difference between believing and trusting. Trusting is much more challenging. It's challenging, make no doubt about it. Nevertheless, what we have learned already, that the definition of trust, even in our vernacular, it is firm belief that someone is reliable. Trust is about believing someone is reliable. Oh yeah. Let's go on. So that was that March 2022. Trust me, believe me, it's simple obedience. And we're going to see in Luke a good example. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Watch this. It doesn't stop there, though. It says, and do not lean on your understanding. Now, that's hard, isn't it? You think about it. I'm sure we have a number of college graduates in here, probably master's degrees, a few doctorates. And it's very easy, very easy to rely on my education, your education. And sometimes, listen to me very carefully, sometimes your education doesn't equate to the way he wants it done. That's okay. I never get a lot of amens on that one. It's okay. But you see, here's the thing about God. Remember this. Today, if you don't remember anything else, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. Please understand, here's why you can trust or have confidence in, faith in him. By the way, let me say this. You see, it's not enough to believe God. Hold on to your seats. Demons believe in God. Let me say, because some of y'all didn't get that one. The devil even believes in God. So it's not enough for me and you just to believe him. The difference is trusting him. That's the game changer. To put our trust, our confidence in, because that's what trust is, even in the Hebrew. It means confidence, to have confidence in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your understanding. Now, why? Charles, tell me, why should I put confidence in him? Story number two. Very vivid. Very personal story. Very vivid. Probably in the seventh grade. Imagine seventh graders having this kind of conversation, what I'm about to tell you. But seventh graders, I'm having a conversation about God and This is how I came to believe in him. I'm not saying that I, Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10, confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I'll be saved. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you how I began my journey in God. One verse of scripture. Now let's do the math. Where are all my A plus math people? Let me see you. Those who found math very easy, let me see you. I don't like you people at all. I'm just joshing. I'm just kidding. I struggle with math even today. Me and algebra. If I could punch algebra in the face, I'd punch him in the face. Oh my gosh. I'm being facetious, and please hang on. But we're going to do some simple math. This is the verse that changed my life and put me on the path to finding God himself and his son. You ready? I'm going to talk to Carmen, because the rest of y'all are not ready. So this verse, it says, watch this now. Before my words pass away, heaven and earth will pass away. Whoa. Seventh graders, I'm saying this to somebody. So the math is very simple, isn't it? Here's the math. Is this, do we call this place Earth? Would you agree?
Yes.
That must mean if the Earth is still here, then that must mean his word is real. And that what? I can trust him. He's the person that put the stars up there and gave them names. All things, watch this, it says that by Jesus, about the Lord Jesus, that all things are upheld by the word of his power. All things are upheld. So this planet, which rotates one direction and another direction simultaneously, rotates around that big orange and yellow ball out there, that person set it just right so it wouldn't be too hot, too cold. So it wouldn't be like Venus. So it wouldn't be like Mercury. So it won't be like Saturn, or if it's, we still have this planet called Pluto. They say we don't have a planet called Pluto. Some, that's the argument now. But that planet Pluto is way out there from the sun. But he put this thing called Earth right, just right. Right? And it doesn't throw any of us off. Hello? Okay, it goes one way and it goes another way, and we're all still here. That's the one you can trust. That's the person you can trust. So here we have two things. One, trust me, obey me. It's simple obedience. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. Watch this. So, third story. When I learned I had the privilege of coming before you, and as I prepared, I'm minding my own business. Usually that's how that's what he does. He interrupts my business. He can do that. He is who he is. By the way, there are times he does this, and then there are other times he just comes in. He doesn't even ask sometimes. The day that he said to me, trust me, believe me, obey me. I didn't ask him to, he just came on in. Just, I need you to trust me, believe me, and simply, it's simple obedience. He just came in. Now, Thursday, the 14th, as I am now, I know that I'm coming to share with you. I look on my computer. Again, I'm minding my own business. I'm on my YouTube, favorite YouTube channels. There's a pastor in Texas. I wish I could show you the picture of the title of what he's about to talk about. Hopefully you can imagine. His title was Trusting God. Is that right? I guess you would like me to speak on that, Lord. Yeah, trusting God. I'm here to share with you, it's real simple, that you can trust Him. And it doesn't matter what we are going through, you can trust Him. He's the one that we can trust. He's the one we can have confidence in. We're going to go to Luke now. Luke chapter 8. And by the way, I've been meditating on these passages of scriptures for months. What I'm about, these passages that you have before you today, I've been meditating on them for months. Trust me, believe me, it's simple obedience. Our Lord and His friends. By the way, you do know that those are professionals. The disciples, they were professionals. All of them had some kind of profession, whether they were fishermen, tax people, accountants, etc., etc. These are professionals that Jesus called. Fellas, let's go to the other side. Now, in today's vernacular, you know what that means? Let's go to the other side. That's what it means. God is so confident in who He is, He says what He says, then does it. He expected, look at your neighbor and say, He expected. Look at somebody else and say, He expected. You know why I do that? To make sure y'all awake and paying attention. So, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. A violent storm comes, not while he's awake. It comes when he takes a nap. By the way, you need to know and understand that that shows his humanity, that he actually got tired, that he wasn't operating anywhere in the earth through his deity as the pre-incarnate one. He's operating as a man, so his body became physically tired. His body became physically hungry in Luke chapter 4 when he's on the Mount of Temptation. That shows that he was like you and I. The Bible says that he was a man like you and I, tempted in all points of sin, yet he did not sin. So he's tired. He starts taking a nap. Storm comes, just abrupt. Anybody ever have one of those? Let me see the people that are real. See, I'm talking to the people that, is there anyone, I had to ask this question before I go any further. Is there anybody that will be honest enough to say that sometimes you get hungry and you just have to have a 7-Eleven hot dog? Let me see them hands. Thank you. I thought I was just the only one. I thought sometimes I need to pull over. I see 7-Eleven. I want to get one of those quarter pounds. Oh yeah. All right. This storm came. Listen to me. It came with the Son of God in the boat. That ought to tell you something. if it happened to him, it could happen to me. Listen. The devil doesn't like you. In fact, the devil hates you and me. The devil is a thief, he's a murderer, and he's a liar. And he's a killer. He tried to take out Jesus and the 12 with that storm. You see what it did to the disciples? It freaked them out. Fishermen. Some of these guys are professional fishermen. And yet, the storm came with such violence that, hey man, you back here sleeping, we're about to die. Can you get up and help us out? How many of you can relate to the disciples? Oh, only four of you. Oh, well, the rest of you. I'll be talking to the rest of you after service. Listen, when that storm that came through D.C. last month, the one with the violent winds that knocked down trees, split trees, 100-year-old trees, split them, broke them down, threw them down, I was a little concerned. Look at that. Thank you. I can reset it because she told me earlier I have to do what she says. So this storm tried to take him out. It tried to take the disciples out. Jesus gets up, rebukes the wind and the waves, and it's poof, perfectly calm. You can what? Trust him. Say it with me. I can trust him. Now, final passage. I got two more passages and we're going to close. You know why you can trust him? Here's why. A couple reasons. First reason, his perspective. You see, he sees from a vantage point that's different from ours. Watch this one. He knows you and me ever since we were in our mother's womb. Secondly, it's his perspective on things, because he knows, watch this, he knows the end from the beginning and all in between. That's why you and I can trust him. See, the disciples, and again, that's our humanity. That would have probably freaked me out, because I don't like going on the ocean anyway. That's just me. I might have freaked out too. Probably would have. But understand, he's with you. And listen, I'm with you to the end of the age. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I'm with you. Hebrews chapter 6. Here's another reason why you can trust him. Here's another reason why. He's the God who cannot lie. The Bible literally says it's impossible for God to lie. How many of you have friends that can make that claim? Okay, we won't say friends. Family. Well, it was just a little white lie. Oh, brother. God doesn't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Before heaven and before my word passes away, heaven and earth will pass away. That solidified my belief in God himself. It is impossible by two immutable things. It is impossible for God to lie. Impossible. It's not possible. You can trust him. You can have confidence in him. You can believe in him. You can put your faith in him and his word. Now, one passage that came to me later. Remember I said there's three stories. I gave you two of the three stories. Here's the confirmation of the third story. Once again, I'm minding my own business. On my computer, getting ready to do some computer work. Anybody on Facebook? Once again, just one. Okay. Oh, two. Okay. Oh, now three. Look. On my Facebook page. On my Facebook page. I didn't ask for this. But on my Facebook page. Let me get over there first before I tell you exactly. Don't you like the suspense I'm creating? Listen at this. And we'll be closing with this. On my Facebook page is this passage of scripture. Numbers chapter 23. Once again, to confirm what I'm to share with you today, he did this for me. Numbers chapter 23, this is on my Facebook page. I didn't ask for it. It just showed up. Is Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Listen to this. God is not a man that he should lie. Y'all didn't get that because I didn't get a lot of amens. But let me read it again. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? You can trust him. How many of you get that? Let me see the hands that you get, that you can trust this person that we call God. You can trust his son. You can trust the Holy Spirit whom he left behind to be with us, to comfort us. I close with the definition again. This is just from Oxford's American Dictionary. This is not even a Bible definition. But you can gain revelation and understanding from it. Firm belief that someone, Jehovah, Elohim, El Shaddai, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom, that person with all of his names, you can have firm belief that someone or something is reliable, he's reliable, he's true, and he's able to do something. God bless you. Thank you for this opportunity and privilege to share with you the living word of God.
Well, we picked the hymn, Trust and Obey. I guess it goes along with the sermon. Please stand and join me as we sing Trust and Obey.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we thank you, for the word of God is living, it is active, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerns the thoughts and intents of our heart. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
One accord. Come on, say every praise.